Welcome to This Week on Channel 9.
A very special This Week on Channel 9.
I know. I'm not Dan Fernandez, and you're clearly not Brian Keller.
No, I might be mistaken for a younger Charles Torrey.
Ooh.
Nice, like Looper. Yeah.
I'm Clint Ruckus. This is Rick Barraza.
This is a very special This Week on Channel 9. We're doing a This Year on Channel 9 wrap-up. You know, I just joined Microsoft a year ago. It's my first year, so
it's
going to be wrapping that up soon. A lot of things need to go on behind the scenes to get a show like Channel 9 or get a website up and running. So I thought it was really nice that we went out to the whole team to have everybody do their picks of the week, but really their picks of the year for this year and kind of introduce them, do the shout-outs on the show, as well as seeing what news stories did they find the most interesting this year or that are still timely and relevant, maybe deserve a second look as we head into 2013.
Definitely. I mean, there's just so much. Like, literally, we stopped and we're like, wait a second. We did this and this and this, and we, like, seriously, some of the projects I thought were done 2 years ago, and it turns out it was done like 6 months ago.
It has been a crazy year for Microsoft. I think 2013 is going to be more of the same, but we were all so heads down on build.
I know.
Right, and a lot of build content on the deck, as we'll see, but yeah, absolutely. So let's go in and see what stories we might have missed or which stories we want to shout out these people's pick of the year. So let's start with my number five. This one coming from Mark DeFalco, who's now working with Greg Duncan's team, does a lot of work on the events as well. His pick was the talk, Giorgio Sardo's talk.
You said Greg Duncan's team. You mean Duncan McKenzie?
I meant Duncan McKenzie's team. Yeah, that's where the emails get messed up as well. Mark's pick for his pick of the year was from the Build conference. It was Giorgio Sardo's From Zero to Hero, building a Windows Store game in HTML5.
I look like I have a hat.
When Dan's not here, we do not know how to... Oh, hold on. Should we...
There we go.
All right.
Okay.
We're just going to let it roll?
Yeah, let's just roll with this,
just do
man.
It.
Okay, so Giorgio went through and talked about building a Windows Store application from literally scratch, file new, to building out a full-blown game.
Less than 50 minutes, and doing it while in a Yeti suit. So if you haven't seen the video, watch the video. It's really funny.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that as I was watching it and kind of in the background, then I finally paid a bit more attention. I was like, why is he furry?
Why is exactly? I agree with it as well. You know, one of the big things this year, and as we're going to see a lot in the picks, is this kind of explosion of languages. You and I, you used to do a lot of web dev, and then you were doing basically C# for a long time, same with me, as our kind of language of choice. It still is, but this year it's really kind of broadened out the environment.
Yes.
So if you're looking at these languages, I agree with Mark's pick. Giorgio's talk From Zero to Hero was a great, great talk.
Yep.
Okay, number four.
Let's see.
Excuse me, actually, this is Clint's number five. Our numbering's messed up.
Okay. Team Foundation's service preview is public. That's a mouthful. Basically, it's Team Foundation in the cloud, TFS. And the nice thing there is we actually use this for Project Detroit.
Uh-huh.
It's just you type create your account, get going, and you have basically full-blown TFS. Super easy to set up. You don't have to worry about management servers. And all that stuff, it just works, which is what people want.
Absolutely. And whose pick was this?
This is actually Greg Duncan.
Greg Duncan.
And for those who don't know Greg Duncan, he is helps out the Coding for Fun team and Channel 9 team in general, doing basically picking the blogs and a bunch of other things. Amazing, awesome guy.
Yeah, a lot of the secret sauce behind the show in terms of he just does so much of the prep work. Major shout out to Greg Duncan. Okay, moving on. Number four on this side of the fence comes from our illustrious Charles Torrey, Herb Setter's The Futures of C++ talk. Again, another piece of content from Build. I'd have to agree with Charles, and I know we've had a lot of these conversations back and forth, right, in terms of where C++ is coming. We kind of had the C++ renaissance. We had going native this year for the very first time. 2012 definitely was kind of this year that C++ is back in the game, but for different reasons, right? I keep coming in from the C++ in certain environments for cost efficiency, right? You can't assume unlimited power, unlimited, like we do on desktop. We're going mobile, we're going tablets.
I mean, to me, I view it as use the right tool for the purpose at hand.
Exactly.
There are times when C++ is very, very
without
powerful.
A doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
But as we found out on Maelstrom, it is very easy to blow off your foot.
It really is.
So that's where I view it as use it when it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you know, same thing with if you want to build HTML5 applications, use it when it makes sense. Same thing mm-hmm. with C#. Like, I know if I have to do a quick turnaround, chances are I prefer C# because yeah. it's a language A, I know, and then B, it's super easy to get to do complex stuff. But well, you do take the overhead of the .NET framework, but in my opinion, most of the time, no one will ever know.
Yeah, exactly. And even I think Maelstrom was a great example, right? Where to do the prototype in C++, our first when we were first sketching out ideas, it took me like a week to do the C++ graphical prototype. And then when I went to do the prototype for the tablet controller, it was literally overnight. Like I left 5 p.m., 10 a.m. the next morning just because C++ is so much easier for developers to go out. But some of the things we needed to code against the metal because of what we're doing with DirectX and stereoscopic. So absolutely, if you're in that position where you're going to be focusing on differentiated experiences, definitely want to be watching this talk, The Future of C++. I would actually, before this talk, personally, I'd recommend Herb Setter's talk from the end of last year that got swallowed up from the first build. But that was... look up Herb Setter's Why C++, and we'll set up the link on there. That one I thought was a great introduction. Everything that was presented there has been coming true this year, right? But again, Charles Torrey, of course.
To me also, the nice thing, I think everyone should blow off their foot with C++ from time to time. Because like I remember when I did it long ago, it taught me so many good habits mm-hmm. for performant code.
Yeah.
And now it's just, I don't even think about it. I just do it.
Yeah.
But if you... Please don't make me do it again.
Well, there we go. Okay. So you're number four.
My number four is, yes, this was just recently announced, Visual Studio 2012 Update 1. Now, why this is important is Visual Studio is shifting from more of an old school service pack updates, mm-hmm. where they're like, you know, 6 months to a year between, to more... quarterly, like, here is a bunch of bug fixes, here's new features, and it's continuously updating Visual Studio to fix and add in new features when they're done and when they're ready versus big, giant jumps.
Which makes things fast and fluid, if you will, in terms of our development IDE. For a perfect example, again, getting back to C++ would be like the C++ compiler, right? Because we're getting C++, new compilers coming out while the new Visual Studio is coming out. If those things weren't ready at the same time, you'd almost have to wait until the whole next big thing would come up before you could catch up. So now these abilities of pushing Visual Studio updates out much more frequently,
and the nice thing,
very, very powerful.
And then the other really awesome thing is the update mechanism is built into Visual Studio. So if you've been running 2012, you've already gotten NuGet updates. Like you get a little toast thing, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, there's updates.
Nice.
Another nice thing with Update 1 is if you guys have one of these nice little bad boys, a Surface Microsoft Windows RT device.
What's that?
I know.
Oh, everybody's getting their Surfaces today on Redmond. Redmond is full of rejoicing.
Yes. The nice thing is that they have improved debugging tools.
That's right.
For ARM devices. So, like, I know I'm writing an application to control my home receiver, so I'm constantly remote debugging into my Surface to prove that everything I do works on my Surface, because that's probably what I'll be using.
Now, Tim here has a great post on remote debugging tools on the Surface.
Yeah.
I'm just filling in the gaps in between picks of the year with more picks of the year. So there you go. Another shout out to Tim here.
And if you haven't done remote debugging now, that is amazing.
Amazing. Easy and fun to set up. Once you get coding on your machine and simply remote it out to there, totally changed the way I do things.
To me, it blows my mind that I can set a breakpoint on one computer and it hits on the other.
Yeah, nice.
So, okay. Next pick of the week. Bloop. Wrong button.
My number three. This one comes from Larry Larson.
Yes.
We could not find a picture of Larry Larson, so we are using a picture of Laura Foy. Laura Foy, by the way, her pick of the week. Dan, you should not trust Clint and I with a camera and airtime. I don't know what you're thinking. Larry's pick of the week was a Channel 9 interview with Jeff Hahn. On touch experiences that he gave to Charles Torrey. I watched it was one of those, there's so many things that were going on at Build. If you're watching a lot of videos, if no matter how much you got out of build, I'm sure there's something else of build that you've missed, right?
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of this. It wasn't even on my radar till Larry brought it up to me saying, hey, it was one of the coolest videos we've shot.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went back, I started watching it. Jeff Hahn, of course, had the TED Talk. Now he's working at Microsoft, and he's done the big Pixel Sense.
Yes, which was so much fun to play with.
Yeah, you know, it starts off like a introductory talk.
Yeah.
But toward the middle, he really starts getting into some of the nuances of multi-touch, kind of where it is, where it's heading. I work with multi-touch a lot, right? So the first part of it, I was kind of coding and listening in.
Yeah.
And then it kind of stopped coding and started listening seriously to what he was saying, because he started getting into some really good points there. Laura's pick of the week, by the way, just who we gratuitously included her picture. Her pick for this year would actually have been Wordamit.
Yes.
It didn't make the slide deck, but we also thought it was good.
That is an incredibly addictive game.
It really is. And exclusive, as far as phones go, it's exclusive on our platform, correct?
It's on Windows Phone, yes. And it's also on, and now it's part of the Windows, it's a Windows Store application as well.
Exclusive to our ecosystem.
Yes.
Excellent. So, moving right along.
Eventually we'll learn how this system works. Okay, so this is Azure Mobile Services. Getting started, this is Mike Sampson. He's the architect, lead architect on Channel 9,
yep.
Dev side, so part of Duncan McKenzie's team.
Awesome gamer.
Yes. Oh, man.
Really
you
good guy.
Do not want to verse him in Dance Dance, or was it Dance Central? You get destroyed.
I will take your word for that.
And so the nice thing with Azure Mobile Services is you can do things like push notifications, user auth, just a bunch of cool little things really, really quick. You can get up and going. And we witnessed this at the hackathon for Windows 8.
That's right.
Build, where people literally saw the talk and came back to the room and had a full-blown whatever thing they needed in like a couple minutes.
The ones that won, weren't they using that as well?
I think a couple of them were using them.
Yeah, some of those. I also had, again, another thing on our radar. We've been heads down on so many things this year, mobile services. What Azure did, I remember last year at Build, before I was Blue Badge, right? I mean, everything was coming in. I was excited about the kind of going to native, the going to GPU, the kind of bringing an ecosystem. Azure had still kind of been on the back of my head, right? Then you know, we hear... Scott Goo's moving over to there. Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, Hanselman's moving over there. That's interesting. I look up, I stick my head up 12 months later, and Azure has really, I think, come of this maturity now. And these series that they have, these Getting Started series, if you go to Windows Azure, go to the URL, really excellent walkthroughs from Goo himself. Mobile services, the ability to get up and going easily with that with your Windows Phone device, talking with your Surface device, talking with Windows 8, all leveraging things through Azure.
And the other, they have samples for these for iOS as well.
That's right. That's right.
And coming soon is Android. So just when you think of it, don't think of it as just
locked into
the Windows ecosystem.
Great point.
It works across everything. And bringing that point up, now you can do Node.js on Azure, you can do PHP, you can do Java, you can do Python. It's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people excited about the Node.js.
Yeah, I mean, Channel 9 runs on Azure, and the crazy stuff we do on Azure, like, it blows my mind what the dev team is doing.
Yeah, I think Azure's really come on its own. Good pick by Mike Sampson there. So moving on, my number two pick comes courtesy of Brian Peek. Brian Peeks wants to give a shout out again to the DirectX graphics development with Visual Studio 2012 tools. In my head, at least, it's split into two.
You really want to give me a hat?
I like that. I like that.
You want to give me a hat, don't you? It's
split into two collections, right? Follow the links down that we'll be providing down below. But the ability to create pixel shaders visually in Visual Studio is just this awesome. There we go. Nice.
We're learning to use our software.
Real time, as we film.
I know. Okay.
So anyways, Brian Peek, to not diminish it. So a lot of really, really cool things here. They don't turn on automatically. Like, again, when you're setting up Visual Studio, you set up your development environment as C#, you probably might not even know that they're there. But as soon as you start working with pixel shaders, as soon as you start working with anything on the GPU, they have a whole slew of tools debugging as well as visually creating and exploring things on the GPU. Amazing, amazing stuff. Start here on this link, which is from the Visual C++ team blog. At the bottom of this blog page, tons of links to videos, to resources, to everything like that. they did so much stuff, totally blew me away last year when I first saw it, when they were announcing it. And now that they actually delivered it on Visual Studio 2012, yes. and I get to play with it, probably the coolest, biggest feature on Visual Studio 2012, and still most people don't even know that it's there. But once you see what they've done, will totally blow you away. They did an awesome, awesome job.
Yeah, I know you guys on Maelstrom were always using those tools.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right.
Your number two.
My number two
comes to us courtesy of?
Courtesy of Golnaz, the keeper of the Channel 9 Studios.
Woot.
Which, as you see, whenever she's not here, because right now she's doing an iOS event, is that we act like we don't know what's going on, which is totally true.
Golnaz not here, everything falls apart.
It does.
But besides keeping everything what did she do this year?
She helped bring up the Absolute Beginner series. So this is Windows Store applications with C Sharp. And we also have JavaScript, we have VB.
A ton of them.
Yeah.
She was like busted out, well, not just her by herself, but yeah. she was really leading up
Bob
the effort.
Bob Paper
here,
right? as well.
Bob Paper busted out a tremendous amount of content.
Yes, yes. And if anyone was noticing, earlier in the year, we released the Absolute Beginner series for C Sharp by itself, VB by itself, HTML, CSS by itself, and JavaScript by itself.
Yeah.
So then we built out the core fundamentals. So then now we have this Absolute Beginner series for that targets a certain platform, and you know, if you don't know what an if statement is, go there. Yeah. Go to the more fundamentals, and now we can start bringing ourselves up and going. And Golnaz also helped get those up and going.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Bob Taper at learnvisualstudio.net.
Because
this is
a
lot of work, and we actually managed to launch these at you know, day zero launch for Windows 8. And it was in the three languages. I mean, that's just... Blew me away. And then the nice thing, Golnaz isn't a dev, so she actually reviewed all the content. Joff as well reviewed a bunch of the content.
But you know, I think getting back to our earlier discussion, it's important to be having this. It's encouraging to see this on Channel 9. It's encouraging to see Microsoft investing in this because, again, a lot of us have been coming from using one language the past, you know, 8 years or 5 years or 6 years, whatever it might be. And for a lot of us, it's C#, honestly, right? And again, C# is a great language, but there are new opportunities that are coming in, using the right tools for the right job, getting a quick overview of JavaScript, right? I know, or like with myself, I had to get a quick overview of C++ very, very quickly, which we did, and now I've switched over to JavaScript, right? And while doing all that stuff, I've kind of forgotten some core C#, but that's why I always come back to you guys. This is great. It's kind of like we've all been doing our things, and this year we all needed to learn like three new things, right? And most of us only learned one new thing and a half, right? So there's
I'm relearning a piece of technology I used to be a subject matter expert in. And I'm like, which way is this?
Yeah. So really, really good to see that we're having this investment on people learning to cross-pollinate their skill sets this way across languages, techniques. It's not about the languages we use, it's about being able to solve problems, right?
Yes.
As a developer, as a designer. So great pick.
So, and you know, then I'm really partial on this. People be like, why is this on Channel 9?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just because you already know how to code, doesn't mean someone else doesn't.
Yeah.
We've gotten shout outs from like people where they're like, they gave it to their son or daughter, and they're like, this is awesome. So,
yeah. Good overview. And we have more overviews like this coming up very soon.
Yes.
Cool. So, moving on along to our picks of the year.
Picks of the year.
My number one pick, as we were creating the deck, I'd have to point back to Scott Hanselman gave a brilliant talk at Build called Angle Brackets, Curly Braces, OneASP.NET, and the Cloud, right? Now, Scott's always entertaining, right? It's always entertaining to watch to watch him speak. I've watched this talk multiple times because, for me personally, not only was it entertaining as it is, but it was thought-provoking because he painted a big picture again from web services, from the cloud, what's going on with Azure. Again, Azure is something I keep hearing about, but it's like, yeah, I'm busy. I have to make these pretty pixels move very quickly on the screen, right, in stereoscopic. Don't have time. And hearing the talk really made me stop, take notice of what's going on. If for nothing else, he phrases it, I'm going to butcher Scott Hanselman's material, right?
He's going to come down here and hunt you down.
Exactly. His legions of Twitter followers will like make fun of my dozens of Twitter followers. But he phrases it, and I'm not going to try and do a Hanselman joke, but he it wasn't a joke. It was thought-provoking. It was, if you're a developer up until the early 90s and you kind of just went asleep, right? You Rip Van Winkled for a decade or so. When you wake up today and you're trying to wrap your head around what does modern programming look like today? And then he started talking about the cloud, this deployment of the cloud distribution. And I've been coding for a while, right? We've all been doing it for a while, but we've been doing it under like a desktop model, or maybe, you know, here's an executable, maybe we're leveraging some services. But this whole concept of software being developed cloud first is something I'm still coming to terms with. I've been talking with my friends offline. This talk specifically and spawned several conversations with many different types of developers and designers of what exactly does software and does coding look like as we move into 2013? Are some of our assumptions and paradigms wrong, or maybe not wrong, but are they starting to get outdated? What are they getting replaced with? It's very high level, but it was very thought-provoking for me. Really, really enjoyed this talk. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen it and you don't do a lot with the web, please watch this talk
I view it as more and more software does need services, and that's where I stand behind cloud computing is huge in the fact that, besides the fact I don't have to worry about the infrastructure, if coded properly, you can scale.
Yeah.
And there's been, the company I worked at before, Microsoft, there was a couple times where this would have saved our kit and caboodles.
Yeah.
And ironically, we were deemed a cloud company.
Way early on.
Well, it was, we had to worry about the infrastructure. Yeah. Versus someone else. And on Channel 9, the nice thing is we encode our videos up in the cloud. So all we had to do is go click, 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 click for adding in for like build to encode all the videos. And how quickly we do, we just go bloop, rev up instances. And then when it's done, we just rev them down and we pay for what we did.
Absolutely.
And it's huge.
He also had with John Galloway. So Hanselman did this talk, I believe, Thursday morning, and then they also closed out Build with another talk, similar material with John Galloway, talking about Signal R as well. And basically, again, a lot of these, I would actually pick both of those as my bookends. Watch this first one, and then watch the last talk they did with John Galloway and leveraging Signal R and building stuff real time. Absolutely gets you ready for 2013. And your pick of
my pick of the week.
Pick of the year.
Is the new Coding for Fun team. We grew from a small little team.
Being you and Dan, basically.
Being me and Dan, and occasionally Brian Peek helping out too. You and Brian Peek being full-time Microsoft employees helping out Coding for Fun.
And our first big project.
Our first big project was boxing robots. And that, I mean, we learned so much about working as a team and skill sets and pulling off a small miracle with that thing. And I think Maelstrom was even more fun because it was like we finished it with Maelstrom, and like same thing happened with boxing robots. We showed up on site and we're like, it just works. This never just happens.
And we weren't used to that before. We're used to kind of being independent little wizards, and now we all kind of get it together.
I'm typically used to fighting until the bitter end until it gets put up on stage, and this was just like, we had like 4 or 5 hours after they were fully built, and we're like, what do we do now?
We could actually watch a keynote.
I know. Maelstrom, we were done a couple of days before, and we're like, let's go buy some surfaces.
Yeah. You mean QA for the product.
Yes,
that's right.
QA.
Yeah,
yes.
But Boxing Bots was really, really good. Really, really good time. I think it showed when we have people with Brian Peek skill sets, right? You coming at it with, and we all kind of overlap, right? And I'm taking a point on design. Really, really, Boxing Bots got a lot of good positive attention. If anything, it's a teaser for what we might be doing or what we will be doing coming up for next South by Southwest kickoff party.
I had to relearn stuff, and I had to relearn some key math parts, and I screwed up. And I hate math.
Yeah, so basically we're wrapping up the show. We're going on vacation. We'll start 2013. Going heads down for our next big Coding for Fun project.
Yes.
To kick off the interactive party with Frog Design.
We give Dan yet another heart attack.
Absolutely. That's the goal, 2013.
Yeah, so.
Let's make it happen.
Thank you guys for watching.
Wonderful year.
Yeah, and, you know, for Coding for Fun, I'm just going to give us a little plug. If you guys have any cool project ideas or want to help us out, please reach out to us.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Cool.
Great. Hey, have a great 2013.
Where's the record button? Thank you.